if we can get started, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If we can remain standing, we'll be led in prayer today by Seth Atkins from River Church.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you have brought us together as a team from Delta to lead and guide as well. Lord, give us wisdom and insight into the conversation and the things that we have to deal with at hand. Lord, allow us to check our emotions, to check our opinions and our feelings, and be governed by wisdom and truth so we can see the best things happen for our community. God, allow us to work as a team. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. All right, can we have attendance and roll call, please?
Dawson?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Frank?
Here.
Shire?
Here.
Emily?
Here.
Adams?
Here.
Okay, approval of the agenda.
I'd like to make an amendment to the agenda to add old business resolution 05-2025.
There'll be another amendment on top of that as well to move the conduit financing discussion to be right after public speak.
Make that a motion to agenda, to amend.
A motion to amend the agenda?
Second.
And a second. Can I have a roll call, please?
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yep.
Demoy?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Now a motion to approve the agenda with the amendments.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call, please.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demoy?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
All right, approval of minutes from previous meeting, April 21st, 2025, regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Shire?
Yes.
Demoy?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Abstain.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Is there anyone from the public wishing to address myself and counsel today? Sir?
Can you come to the podium?
Step on up.
Oh, I didn't think it was going to happen that quick. No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. I'm actually, I want to address the public about, or counsel about truck traffic.
Your name and address?
Jeffrey Fry, 9673 County Road H. The annex touches my property, so I'm not sure if I'm part of the Delta Village or if I'm part of Conda. I know I'm part of York, but my mailbox is in Pike. But I live in that whole, the whole truck area around there. And we have truck traffic coming from Worthington, Bowling Green Trucking, Nature Fresh, everybody gets lost, so they're driving on H and they're driving on 10. So I didn't know if there's anything we could do about no-through trucks. And this isn't anything with the farmers. Farming is fine. I live in the country, but I'm trying to figure out truck routes, Jake Brakes. There's going to be a truck stop that's put in out there. I didn't know if there's anything that could be done to keep freight from going west down H and just keeping them designated on 109 and on Airport Highway is kind of what I'm looking for. I don't know. I just started here first, so I didn't know which way to go about this or who to talk to. So it's basically truck routes and a jake brake ordinance is what I'm trying to look for.
So we discussed this briefly in regards to County Road 10 previously when we had the road construction.
Mm-hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but we did discuss putting no through truck traffic signs up, and that was okay.
You did pass an ordinance, correct. The only thing is I'm not familiar enough with this. You can't do anything with state routes. So I'm not familiar enough with this, and maybe the chief and I could talk to this gentleman outside of council. But you can't alter state routes in that context.
He just wants it on County Road H.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
He's talking about County Road H.
Yeah.
Not a state route.
Yeah. It's,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's not a state route, then yes, you can make it not a through street for trucks.
So we need to know who's responsible for signage. because there's already an ordinance. So they're already...
I didn't see it, so I wasn't sure.
Right. Is it the village or is it the county or the township?
At that spot. I'm looking it up right now. I think it's the county.
And I mean, they're moving around now, but what I'm really concerned with is when another truck stop gets in, because they're leaving and then they'd just be heading west down H. And I don't know if anybody's gone down H, but the road can't handle that tonnage. Mm-hmm. It's already getting tore up. But again, the lines are getting, you know, where Delta Village is, where York is, where the county would be involved. I'm not sure.
Can we pose to Loves when they create their entrance and exit off of H that they have a sign that says, like, left turn only towards 109?
I would think that would be more designated to the village to make that, to implement a stop sign or a sign on County Road H stating that trucks under a certain amount of weight cannot enter without, or I'm not saying they could, there would have to be a sign specifically without ODOT permission, but essentially we could put a sign out there that says weights or trucks under a certain weight can't enter here. That was a discussion the village did have with Fulton County, because they had that same concern. So that is another discussion. I could say at the very least, Chief Chappell and I could have again, and then potentially have that discussion again with Fulton County about how we're going to work together to try and mitigate the amount of trucks heading west on County Road H. Because frankly, it sounds like the issues that we're dealing with right now, that could be a timely aspect where we could be dealing with somebody sitting down there 24/7 monitoring County Road H. And I think the county and the village are not in a position to be paying out funds for somebody to sit there 24/7 monitoring trucks.
Right. To ease your concern, there is heightened awareness of that issue already because of that truck stop. Mm-hmm.
So. I work in Chicago, the city of Chicago, and I was kind of thinking about how they have things up there. They have designated truck routes because if you don't go the right way, you're going to take the trailer out because the bridges are so low there. Mm-hmm. So that's why I know they have like establishments on Google Earth, and you know, I didn't know how far this could go with council, you know, trying to help this situation out. I'm just trying to like coexist. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know where I live in the corridor that I'm in, but I'm trying to. It's like the backstretch of just freight down H. And it's Swift, it's everybody. J.B. Hunt, the Bowling Green, it's everybody.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Yeah, there was already an issue when the turnpike was closed last year in Wauseon. Trucks were traffic was backing up down 109 and they couldn't turn into Northside because the lane was too long. They could never make a light, so they were going around the block. And yeah, that's when we implemented that. So. That ordinance. So it is in effect, and they are.
Now,
they're in violation of an ordinance now.
Is there a jake brake ordinance too, or no?
There's no noise ordinance outside the village limits.
Okay, so that's it. I'd have to go York or Fulton County or ODOT?
Yeah, I believe a jake brake is in violation of a noise ordinance.
Correct. Yes. But are you saying that, I mean, we could look at whether if council chooses, wants to do a jake break, although I hear those don't always work.
Yeah, you can have a jake break and they can still jake break.
I see the signs further down 109, north on 109, they have no jake break, like, for 2 miles. And I know it's just a sign, but something.
I think we just tried that process on the west edge of town, correct? We're in the process of looking at a jake brake ordinance for...
There is one. There. People still jake brake.
Okay.
Sometimes it entices them to do it. Oh, yeah?
What? I'm just sitting there and I'm watching all the steel come through, and I'm like, they ain't got their brake on now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I figured I'd stop here first, so... All right, that's it.
Thank you
for your time.
Nick, thank you.
Okay.
Any other public wishing to address council? If not, we'll go to the gentleman from Bradley Payne Advisors.
Good
About the financing?
Andrew
Brossard.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. So here tonight to present to you about conduit financing and how conduit financing works is Mr. Andrew Brossard. This was at a request that council had. So, Mr. Brossard, I believe you have brought your presentation to the council and they have been dispersed.
Yes.
All right. You may begin.
Good evening. You guys can hear me okay? So, a little background on who our firm is and what we actually do. Municipal Advisors has been around for quite some time. Back in 2012, when the Dodd-Frank changes and then legislative changes at the federal level, they saw some financings that were done in the past, mainly 08-09, led into the fiscal crisis, and they wanted to see some more separation between the advice side and the actual end product. They realized the end product was really where a lot of the bankers got paid and was very lucrative to get to a certain phase and structure. So they created this municipal advisory space, which was always around, mainly to the larger issuers. You did, for example, State of Ohio, $100 million transactions, but they really wanted to see it forced more on local governments. I've been in the business 27 years. The last 8, I've been on the municipal advisory side. And so our firm, that's all we do and look at. We help structure the transactions. We really don't care if it's a bond, note financing, a loan, state government loan, whatever. It's really designed to get you the right product at the end of the day. So that's sort of in a nutshell what our firm does. I wasn't sure what you guys all wanted to cover, so in terms of conduit transactions, I know this is related to a residential development, possibly. And I would say this, over the last 4 to 5 years, we have seen across the state a tremendous amount of support relative to single-family development, multifamily development, trying to address the housing issue. And so there's various tools we laid out in here that you may or may not be considering for this transaction or this development. I was told you guys understand a lot about TIFs. You've heard been through that already, so I'm not going to bore you with that presentation slide. The other tools that are open to you and have been used a lot are not only just the TIF incentive legislative ability under state law, but also community reinvestment areas, CRAs, where they exempt the property value for a period of time and then let you pack in a charge if you go over a millage charge. The other area that's been used a lot as well and more becoming popular across the state is new community authorities. And new community authorities have been enacted to also help with the development of projects or help drive revenue to the local government from that project. So, for example, NCA, have you gone through what the community authority is at all?
We have not really touched on NCAs.
It's going to lead into my conduit conversation here in a minute. That's why I want to address it. A new community authority is really an area or a body of government that's created. And think of it like the homeowners association, but has the powers of some government, some government powers have. For example, they have the ability to levy an additional charge, a tax. They could levy an additional sales tax, a hotel tax, depends what's in the development. In this case, with the residential development you're looking at, they could levy an additional charge, millage charge. The city of Franklin, just south of Dayton, is doing this with all their got 3 or 4 TIF districts going on now. And they're levying a 5 mil charge for their benefit on top of the project to help pay for other infrastructure needs, whatever that might be. So the NCA can also act as a issuer of bonds. They can issue tax-exempt bonds just like you can. So that's important in terms of being able to lay off risk if you're looking for a different kind of issuer to issue the bonds, in this case, for this development. So I thought that because I wasn't sure if that was thought of at all in terms of the process with this project. And maybe it might be too far down the road, but like I said, there's a lot of communities that have been utilizing that tool. You have to be the enacting agent of that, but yet also the property owner. We have to consent to it. So you just can't go out and put it on a piece of property without their consent. So there has to be this involvement, this working relationship between the two. All right? As it relates to conduit financing, There's a lot of different conduit issuers out there. You can go through a port authority. They can enter the conduit issuer. We have done a few of these residential type developments where we have chosen not to go through port authority and not to disparage port authorities. We do a lot of work with them. They're great organizations, but they also come with additional fees and transaction costs that they may request to do the deal. You can act as your own conduit issuer, and it does not, if structured the right way, it does not impact your credit rating or your ability to have to come in and make a payment should there be a default or a shortfall in revenues and paying debt service. And that's really your main concern, to make sure that the way that deal is structured, you're just issuing bonds, and the investor, whoever that might be, the bank, whoever the loan, they don't understand that the revenues from that project, you know, rely on projections from some independent source, and they all understand that only the revenue stream pays back that debt service, nothing else. Now, there might be other credit enhancements. For example, sometimes they talk about minimum service payment obligations of the developer. That might be in play. That is another, you know, revenue source you go to if there's a shortfall. And then personal guarantees possibly from the developer company. So, in essence, in real short terms, that's how it kind of would work. You'd be the issuer in this case, or the NCA, or a port authority. But no legal obligation if there's a default or a shortfall. When it comes to the different types of support relative to that, there are other facts, obviously, and some clients would suggest that you look at this, but if there's a need to help the financing have a better interest rate, if for whatever reason the numbers aren't working, the cash flows don't seem to be proven out, you can do lending guarantees behind that. So, for example, there's a lot of communities who have done non-tax revenue pledges behind financings, and so it's a limited source. And even in that situation, you wouldn't have to pledge the entire amount of the non-tax revenues. You could pledge a third or only guarantee up to a portion of the projected debt service or the financing if you wanted to try to make that a better deal and make the transaction happen. So that's another way that you can participate in a limited way to make sure the development goes forward. Any questions on... Don't want to be respectful of your time because I understand you want to talk about conduit financings. I did want to highlight the new community authority option for you. Again, there's always the port authority, and you can negotiate with the port authority in terms of fees. But those are really the main ways that we see these transactions get completed. There's no right or wrong way. It's just a matter of what your comfortability is and making sure things are written the correct way to make sure it doesn't come back to you. If you like, we can follow back up with some different communities and the different strategies they have used across the state, if that might be helpful.
I do think that would be helpful. Obviously, this is not a project style that the village has incurred before. So this is kind of dipping our toe in new water, and we want to have as much information before ourselves to make the best decision we can possible. So I think having that information, any extra information in regards to this, would be very beneficial.
What other option you might have, and some smaller developments may not lead to the ability to do this. If the infrastructure isn't being built out all in one phase, oftentimes they'll do a phase in front, move on later, and do the back phase. You can divvy up the project that way too. We have some of these projects are called 150 homes. You might have four different borrowings, so you limit the risk as well. And so, the developer may prefer that too. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense in putting all the infrastructure in if they're not going to sell homes that fast in a 1 or 2 year period. If it's going to be a 5 year project, that might be an option to take a look at as well.
And does that style of phased borrowing of apply to NCAs as well as any of the other CRA or TIF districts, or is this specialized into one style of funding?
It would, all those different schools would go towards that. So we've had situations where we've had a CRA with a TIF with a new community authority charge. And those are still being done in phases as they go along, yeah.
So the NCA is not mutually exclusive from a CRA or a TIF district, too?
It's usually, it's within the toolbox of different tools you're going to utilize, depending on where you want to get to. Yeah. You know, down in the, around in South, in Lincoln County, there's all kinds of crazy demand growth going on for construction needs. They're mandating that has to happen that way. They're not only, when they look at the infrastructure of the community, they look at it globally, so they're also looking at schools, too. Excuse me. So there's nominal charges going on every single development that's going in, and a lot of it. They're here in Jersey Township, which is where it's going. And so they're saying, hey, everybody has to play by the same rules in order to make sure it's developed right. I've always been a big believer that development should pay for development. And so it's just another way to try to help offset that in the future with the NCA charge. I never go, when I have slides, I jump around like crazy. But really, the rest of the information in there is just some fill that if we can touch on something else, we go over. Sounds like it would be helpful to get some information on some other projects or committees and what they have done. We'll get you a handful of those. And if there's anything else that pops up in your mind, let us know. Maybe get forward.
Definitely appreciate you getting us.
Yeah, thank you.
Bedtime reading.
Does anyone else have any questions? I think we're good for now.
Yeah. Thanks for moving me up. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you, sir. Okay, moving on to correspondence.
There is none at this time, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Updates from administrative and committees. Administrator?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So just a few things I wanted to point out, one potential item to discuss. So last week I mean by the street superintendent and I, reviewed applications for the Parks and Streets Laborer. At that time, we had 9 applications, and we decided to interview all 9 candidates that had presented their resumes or applications. The street superintendent and I have not currently offered the position to anybody just yet. We have to still discuss it before we come down to our decision. There have been a handful of candidates that we have considered for the position. We have had a few more individuals apply for the position, but we have still focused on only the handful of candidates that we interviewed to be considered for the position. So our plan is to have those individuals selected and offered to them and potentially have them start by next week. So another item I wanted to present, or I wanted to report slash discuss with council is, so since I have began here in Delta in my position, I've noticed that we go through a lot of paper when it comes to these packets that we present to council, and it does take quite a bit of time to make sure that we have them printed off and put together in your binders and presented to you before each council meeting. So I asked our IT director to look into how much it would cost for tablets for each member of council that they could have with them, take back home, look at the agendas on their tablets and look at their emails on their tablets as well. The quote we got back was for top of the line Samsung Galaxy tablets with
an OtterBox and a stylus that you can use, like a pen stylus for each tablet. And the quote that we got back would average out to a little over $600 per person. However, these tablets will last 5 to 10 years. So it's within my purchasing authority without council approval. However, the question still remains, is it going to be a good investment for council, or is it going to be, or is council going to prefer to continue with their council packets in paper form in the long run?
I guess my question is what financially are we, so we've got the estimate of what it's going to cost us to switch. What is it costing us now to run what we're doing? Do we have an estimate on the yearly cost of paper, ink, and wage time that we're spending on this?
So I can tell you this, at least for wage time, you're considering the amount of time it takes for the clerk of council to stay after hours to put together these packets. So you're looking at least an hour and a half to 2 hours every couple of weeks for her to put together the packets to make sure it's all in your binders ready to go before it gets sent off to. And then you could also consider the wage of the police officer that takes your packets, takes your binders, and drives them to your homes, including the gas. And then you also have to consider the paper and ink. I believe we go through at least a whole packet and a half of paper. So, like, you know those. We spend about those every couple weeks. And then ink and toner is a different situation because that's all tied up into our cost for our printer and for our printer services.
So we're talking 36 man hours over the course of a year, roughly.
I would say 36 to 52, depending on the size of the packet.
A week's worth of work over the course of a year.
And that's all, and because of the fact that it's also at the end of the week, you're also calculating overtime. So it's time and a half of what that employee's wage is. So that's at least $40. So that was probably close to $80 every 2 weeks. So that's running anywhere between $400 to $500, I believe. Let me check here real quick.
And would the intent be that these tablets would be with council permanently, or would they still be picked up and dropped off?
No, the intention is to actually allow for council members to take them home with them, which is the purpose of the OtterBoxes. So that way, in the event, someone were to throw it on, say someone throws it on their couch and it bounces off the couch onto the floor, well then it's not going to get, it wouldn't get damaged. For the most part, it also, another benefit to the tablets as well is it also helps with the Open Meetings Act. So in the event that somebody were to request emails sent to your email, it's a lot easier to hand over your village issue tablet for staff members to review than it is to hand over, say, your personal computer or your cell phone. Because I've had that happen. I've seen it before where members of council were using their personal phones, and they were using their village or city issued email accounts on their personal phones. And in the event that an Open Meetings Act or a open records request was requested, they had to hand over their phone, and they couldn't get it back until after the emails were siphoned through, so to speak. So, in some sense, There is some money that can be saved from having these tablets issued. But it all comes down to, realistically, preference, because what we have noticed too, and at least I have noticed too, is that I have seen that some of you, it seems like some of you already get the packets, then you scan them to your computers or scan them, and then, or once you're done using those packets, you send them back to the village, and we either have to keep them if you've made notes, or we have to shred them. So at least by having the tablets, you're keeping them longer, It also makes it easier for having the packets be sent to you, because rather than having the packets be put together and have them sent to you that evening, as soon as the packet is ready, all the clerk of council has to do is scan the packet and send it off to you as a PDF.
Will there be a records keeping on this device? So can we go back and look at old ordinances and resolutions?
Yes, you absolutely could. And that was something we've considered too, is considering purchasing accounts for Adobe Professional, where you could be able to make edits and make notes on the PDFs themselves. It would cost some extra money, but it all comes down to...
No, it would probably be a subscription type thing.
That's something the council would prefer to do.
Yearly.
I've also spoke with Mr. Heben, our law director, and he could vouch. But when I spoke to him, he said, and some of the other communities, they do use tablets. Others, they do use paper. It all comes down to preference. And it seems, since I've been here, members of council here prefer to use their electronic devices over having a giant packet of paper sitting in front of them just only used one time.
I think as long as we're being fiscally responsible with this endeavor and not just getting new tablets to get new tablets, I don't have a problem with it. If we're going to save money in the long run, cool. If it's just to get tablets, I don't think it's worth it. That's where I stand.
I'd like to know what happened to the tablets that Mr. Peebles purchased. We had them at one time.
Well, it appeared to me that...
I don't know if they were tablets, but they were some kind of electronic device.
From what I was told and from what I believe what you're referring to is the Village of Delta had purchased Google Chromebooks for council to use for their packets. And from what I was told was that members of council didn't either use them because they didn't like using them or just didn't really understand how to use them to their full potential. So that's why we considered the idea of tablets, because...
Where are those Chromebooks, then?
Sitting at storage.
I think we have a couple of them, and I don't know if some of the other departments had taken them to use them.
Because last I knew, they couldn't be found.
We have a couple of them in the office.
So, I mean... Any more thoughts?
I like that he's been able to keep track of records. I don't like taking any of his paper home. I tried to file papers for my first year, and I gave up. It's too much. So,
now that's why I asked our IT director how long these tablets could last, because he had stated it would last 5 to 10 years. So, if we can make them stretch to 10 years, then it would be worth it. Because I mean, just in salary alone, I mean, over the course of 1 year, you take the time and a half of that one employee, multiply that by 2 hours times 26 meetings a year, you're looking at a little over $2,000. And the total cost for all 7 tablets, including the OtterBox and the stylus, which that's just an accessory that you can use to just scroll on your tablet if you don't really need it, then we could scale back on that. But altogether, that total is going to be, for all 7, would be a little over $4,300. So that's a little over $4,300 for 7 tablets over the course of 10 years, if you can stretch it out to 10. And these tablets are the fullest amount of gigabytes you can ask for, which is 256. So that's like the most you can get out of a tablet.
A lot of PDFs.
What's the subscription to whatever?
Adobe.
Well, the Adobe subscription was not included in the final quote, but that would have to be an additional cost we would have to put in for it.
Now, we all use the Outlook for our email as our personal emails. There is an option you can get through Outlook that's called SharePoint. Did we ever look at using that as well? Because I don't believe that would cost anything extra to the village, but it would be an asset that we could use, that we could also share files amongst each other in the SharePoint. We can all sign in and access SharePoint that way.
You certainly could, but I believe Mr. Heben would probably, Mr. Heben, if you want to say.
You just can't deliberate. Yeah, obviously, you can't deliberate except in an open meeting.
Right.
His point is that you can't
open our packets through SharePoint.
Right.
Instead of paying for this.
Right, but
they'll be saying it's going to cost more money. SharePoint, we're already paying for the emails.
Right,
so correct?
The Adobe thing is, from what my understanding is not to send the packets. It's so that we can alter the packets so I could take my stylus and I could write notes.
Right, you can do that in SharePoint. You can do that in SharePoint.
Edit PDFs in SharePoint?
You can edit almost anything in SharePoint.
But with SharePoint, it has to be a Microsoft document, and you have to have the ability, and you have to share it with others, and you can give them the ability to either edit that document, or you can give them the ability to only view the document. But where Mr. Akiva and I are going to come from is that you need to be careful on what you share on SharePoint, because at any time you start making comments on a document, and all of a sudden it turns into you're now having a conversation with one another, or perhaps three or four members on this one document that could be under open records request, and that could also potentially be a violation of the
same thing could happen with the Adobe thing as well. You have to hope that everyone's going to be honest and not sit there and comment on things. You can do the same thing if everyone's sitting there amending the same document and discussing about it. The same thing can happen. So whether you're on SharePoint or you're on this Adobe thing, the same thing can happen. I'm just looking at options because we already have the Outlook. So to me, something like SharePoint, I'm familiar with because we used it at my last job. We use SharePoint to discuss between our office here in Delta and the office in Medina because we could share files. They could create a file, share it to us, and then we can amend, do whatever, and then send it back and say, here's what we came up with. It's just another option when it costs us any extra money.
I absolutely see your point. So the question that, and the direction I'm asking from council is, are you willing to make a motion? Are you willing to make a motion to approve purchasing these tablets before I go off and tell our IT director, or before I go ahead and make these purchases?
I still get my financial documents on paper. I prefer the financial on paper; it's easier.
I mean, we can find a way to make it work, but I do think that staff was hoping to maybe move towards having that be sent as a PDF.
5 cents a page.
I'd probably pay him. Let's be real.
Under Sunshine Law, we can only charge 5 cents per page, so if...
I am willing to make a motion to approve purchase of these under the understanding that it is fiscally responsible.
I'll second that.
I got a question. So are we looking at getting that other thing that you said, that system that's going to cost us more?
My motion is solely for the tablets, not for any add-ons.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so the motion is strictly for the tablets. We can move towards the mayor's proposal of working with Microsoft and SharePoint because with your guys' Outlook accounts, we do pay for the business edition of Microsoft, so which means you all have access to what is called Microsoft OneDrive, which is a cloud-based system where you can save things to a cloud, and it's your own personal cloud from your email address. So we can start with SharePoint until we move to a point where, if it's necessary, we can move towards purchasing Adobe Professional for council members to amend to make notes on their PDFs. But I believe where the mayor stands right now is at least just working with SharePoint until we decide if Adobe is the best. It is in the best interest going forward.
Okay. Is Outlook going to be on there too?
Yes,
so you'll get your email?
Yeah, so I've spoken with our IT director. You'll be able to have, we'll work on getting your Outlook email set up. So that way you can open up your emails, you can look at your emails. You'll be able, now I will say under our village policy, any accessories aside from the ones that you approved tonight, because the stylus is technically an accessory that you would be approving as well.
So if you wanted to buy a keyboard to type on your tablet, that would have to be coming out of your own pocket. Because that's a policy that we've had for other village staff in regards to their phone cases and any other accessories for their village issue devices.
So we can take, if we get those, then we can take what we got on our phones off.
Yeah.
We'll need to have that on.
Yes, because that's another benefit of the tablets is that if someone were to request your emails that were being sent out for whatever reason, you can just hand over your tablet rather than handing over your phone.
My phone don't work anyway.
Is there going to be any kind of training provided for us idiots that don't understand half of this stuff you're talking about? This idiot that doesn't understand half of it?
Well, it all comes down to council preference as well. If we need to have somebody, if you want to come in one-on-one, we could, you know, once the tablets come in, we could, you know, we could sit down with you one-on-one to assist you in showing you how to get your tablet set up and ready to go for your preference. Or if we really need to, we could have potentially at one of the next meetings when they're purchased, have it as an item of discussion to where we could potentially bring one of our IT staff in to get everything set up for you guys. It all comes down to what your level of knowledge is on how you use them.
Yeah. Please excuse my absence.
It all comes down to your preference. If you're an expert at using tablets, then it sounds like you don't need to have someone take care of it for you. It sounds like you get everything ready and set up. If you're someone that wants assistance, we could have some people in our office assist you as needed.
Any other questions? I had a motion and a second to purchase the tablets. Can I get a roll call, please?
Emily?
Yes.
Adams?
No.
Dawson?
No.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
No.
Shire?
Yep.
Mayor.
So it sounds like we got a deadlock right now. Mr. Mayor, what is your decision?
So 5 cents.
Need to take a recess?
I'm trying to figure out some quick mathing.
I just think some Jeopardy music would be great.
I'm just trying to figure out the mathing, how much we spend on paper and all that stuff. And it's roughly $2,000 in salary. And then what do we spend on the paper per year?
Paper's like 35 bucks a box.
Yeah.
So $3 a ream.
Yeah. Realistically, you're looking at salary cost over the life of the tablets. That's going to be your cost savings. So this is, we'll say, 5 years, worst case scenario, because Chad destroys tablets and then 5 times 40 work hours a week.
So you're looking at
200 hours. Right. So 200 wage hours versus $4,355.
So 10 grand, you're saving about 6 grand. Over the course of 5 years.
If we don't have any other wages incurred as a result of these new tablets. Right?
And as far as, like, you lose a stylist?
You're going to be responsible for replacing it.
What if you break the tablet? Who's responsible?
Well,
I break my tablet, I'm responsible to purchase a new one, correct?
Well, that would be certainly a policy that we would have to have on the books, that all members of council would have to sign off that they acknowledge that if they break it under a certain reason, then yes, they are responsible for replacing them. However, wear and tear is not considered damage that the council would have to pay back. Now, I have seen it where basically, if someone were to neglect their tablet, basically,
I'm just asking, it's yes or no.
This doesn't include insurance, correct? Yeah, like phone insurance.
Are these going to be owned by the village, or are they going to go through a network provider or something?
No, they would strictly be owned by the village, where there would be no access to cell service. It would strictly be Wi-Fi only. We would make sure that there would be some sort of security aspect to it, to where no matter which Wi-Fi you set up to, whether it's a public or private, you would still be safely secure.
So that will cost more money for, like, the firewall?
Not really, because what they would realistically be is it would just be your Microsoft Authenticator, which you already have using your tablets and phones already. So that would just be included on your tablets.
This is all within the budget for this year.
Yes, we do have money sitting in the budget for IT repairs and upgrades.
All right, I'll say yes then, if it's within the budget. And we're not going to go over anything.
I will notify council when they come in.
So then that motion passes.
And then just the last thing I wanted to point out to council on my report is I have sent out and approved 3 zoning certificates as the zoning inspector.
Okay. Assistant finance director.
Just an approval of invoices.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I have a motion and second to approve invoices. Roll call, please.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Dunwood? Yes.
Hall director.
I have nothing, Mayor. Thank you.
Police chief?
Good evening. Just want to make a quick announcement that this is that time of year when grass starts growing and we start taking an eye towards nuisances, excessive grass growth, and other things on property. So make sure that people, I know the weather has been kind of rainy lately. That helps grass grow. It's hard to mow. But that's one of the things we're going to start with warnings over the next couple of weeks, is just some of the smaller quality of life things like grass and trash in the yard, stuff like that. Over the past couple weeks, we did host a class. I think it was the first time in a while that a training has been hosted at Delta PD. It was the Ohio Crime Prevention Association hosted a course to certify people on Ohio crime to be Ohio crime prevention specialists. That went well, and the people that came from other departments, mostly came from Lucas County, enjoyed coming to Delta for a change of pace. Our new cruiser was delivered. It's here. It's since gone to the upfitters, and then it's going to get the decaling done. We're still looking at different designs. We want to make something more specific to Delta on the design for the cruiser. So we're still kind of looking at different ideas as to how to make it Delta-centric. The torch run is doing well. We have about 20 people signed up. We've raised close to $1,000. Last time I looked at it, we were actually the top team in the state so far as people and funds raised. So that's nice that signups can go after May 19th, but that's the, if you sign up after May 19th, you might not get a shirt that day. You might have to come in the mail. And talking with the Jaguars team, we kind of planned the picnic afterwards, kind of at where it starts and ends at the police department, and so we're going to have a picnic afterwards, weather permitting, of course. Over there to kind of everybody hang out and spend some time, get to know each other over there after that. We were able to get some helmets through a grant from the state called, I think the grant was Keep a Lid on It. We were able to get us 48 medium-sized youth helmets. So we're going to work on getting those out to the community after we pick them up. We were picking them up on the 7th. So Thursday we had partnered with the health department. They got some, so they're going to go to Columbus and pick them up, pick up ours as well. We were talking with Safety Village to kind of partner with them to get out some to Safety Village. I'm just not sure. We only got medium-sized helmets. That's all we were able to get. I found out about the grant kind of at the end of it. It was actually closed, but he was able to get some helmets for us anyway, but he was only able to get medium-sized helmets, and I'm not sure with the youth helmets if they would fit those kids at the safety village or not, so we'll get put out, push out to the community as best as possible. Brought up the wellness committee the last meeting. We had another wellness committee meeting. They go pretty quick. We have 19 members that are active in the wellness program now through that app or through the website. I don't believe we really had any active before, so that's going well. Hopefully, it's leading to healthier habits for the village employees. We are going to fill out the grant paperwork here over the next week or so, and what we're looking to use that grant money for is to kind of set up a healthy snack station here at the hall where those employees can come in and get fruits, vegetables, and some other healthy items to eat during the workday, stuff like that, to just kind of cut down on some of the higher sugar snacks that are out there and give them a spot to get some healthy snacks. And I believe that is all I have.
I have a question.
Sure.
Do you know what the safety village is?
So I've been talking with Mrs. Minion. She is the person, I think, from the elementary school who helped run it last year, and she's not sure what the date is yet. I think that is also kind of through the Chamber of Commerce, if I'm not mistaken. And so I'm going to reach out to them to try and see if we can get a date and put it out, hopefully at least a month in advance. But I think it's going to be in June, so it's coming up. So I'd like to get that information out soon, so I'm working on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We do have Agriculture Day at the school. Is this week, I believe, Friday. So we have that, and then we're participating in that. We got asked to participate in Evergreen's Career Day as well to just talk about law enforcement and different things. So we'll be participating in both of those this week as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything from any member of council or any of the committees?
I got a question. I don't know who to propose to. How long after a house catches on fire, how long does it get to be around before something has to be done?
The process is that the insurance company pays us the money, and we hold the money until the house is completed to our satisfaction. There's nothing statutorily that has to be done within a certain period of time. It's more of a practical sense. I mean, if I'm the homeowner, I want to move in there as soon as possible. We can always cite under nuisance abatement if it remains out there. Is there some specific issue?
There's one down on Wood Street.
Is that the one we've been dealing with, Marlena?
It is. And she was in the office this past week.
Okay.
Yeah, there was an issue with the money from the insurance not being given to the village. We were able to straighten that out. It got worked out, it's in the process of working out, because I think they actually sent the money to
York
Township.
So I've got a call into York Township. We didn't get the money back yet, but I have a call into Janelle.
So we were working on that with them to get that money, and then depending on when those improvements start, when it starts getting fixed, there are some nuisance things that we can start talking to them about, giving them warnings, and then if it goes too far.
Told me she had Clum Brothers. She was signing a contract with Clum Brothers to take it down, and that she was going to call and schedule it with the utilities department.
That's probably why it hasn't progressed, because she hasn't gotten, she didn't know where her money was, and those contractors won't engage until they get a contract. We talked about it last meeting.
Yep.
Thank you for following up. Internally, administratively, we talked about it.
That's all.
Anything else? All right. Old business. Looks like discuss park levy ordinance options.
If I could, just to remind council, so remember this is a two-cushion shot. We need the resolution passed by council that goes to the auditor, and then the auditor then comes back with the numbers for you. And this is a relatively new procedure. It happened, changed about 3 years ago. So this first cushion doesn't do anything, doesn't put it on the ballot. It's just a request from you to the auditor saying, give us the numbers. I provided the number to you before for the amounts, but the auditor will also give us the number as to how much it will cost a homeowner based on $100,000 value or whatever. So I'm going to ask if council could consider possibly passing this at the next meeting, because we have to send it to the auditor then sends it back to you, and that's when you decide which number you want to put on the ballot based on those numbers. So, it's again, it's really just a procedural thing. And we had some internal, there's one, it's listed under one ordinance. At the next meeting, those ordinances will be broken out into 08A, 08B, 08C. So they'll all go to the auditor, and then they'll all come back with the numbers, and then you guys decide what you want to do. So, I know, Council, I appreciate the three-reading thing, but we might be running into a little time crunch depending on when it comes back. So if you could consider passing this at the next meeting, it gives you the time and the public at least to. And, again, it's not, you're not putting it on the ballot or anything.
Did we decide last meeting, I can't remember off the top of my head, what millages we were requesting? Was it the 1 and the 1.5?
I requested 1, 125, 15, 175, and 2, all the way from 1 to 2.
I know I wasn't at the last meeting, but did we decide, I know there was some talk at one time about there was such a large portion from the administrative part being charged to the park. Did we ever get that straightened out?
No.
That was discussed
last meeting, yeah. But is an ongoing discussion.
We have to schedule a finance committee meeting, I believe. Wasn't that the recommendation?
That was the recommendation.
And we didn't set one up last time because you weren't here.
Right. Should have blamed on me.
So if you want to, if you guys want to say when you want to schedule a finance committee meeting,
whenever's fine for me.
You want to do it before next meeting? Is that the only thing we're going to have to discuss? Is
should we also discuss the compensation plan in a finance committee meeting, or should that be in a full council meeting?
Well, what I recommend is if you're going to have members of council present at the finance committee meeting, then I would prefer that they perhaps be in the audience watching instead of being up at the dais sitting in their seats, because it does present that you are potentially having more than three members of council in a finance committee meeting, therefore making it look like you are having a council meeting without notifying the public. So if you have, so if more than three members of council that are not on the finance committee want to present their feelings and discuss how they feel about the village employees' salaries and fringe benefits being in the park levy and the compensation plan, then I would recommend you set up a special meeting rather than having a finance committee meeting.
Board Director, does that violate sunshine laws? I feel like we're in a gray area that I'm not completely clear on.
Yeah, and Chris is right. The better practice is for council to, if you're not in the committee, to not be seated there in the audience. You would present as the public. My position always is if I am called on it to defend counsel, I would say, what's the difference if there's, and I agree with Chris, the better practice is there. My defense is what's the difference if they're sitting there or there? So, technically, when somebody not in the committee that's on council comments, they're commenting as a citizen, not as a council member.
It's really up to the meeting chair.
It is. Yep.
I was going to say, can't we just call it, if we have to call it a special meeting to discuss finances? I mean, I think everybody on council should, I'm hoping everybody on council would be present and would have their input. It's not just the finance committee that makes, we might make recommendations to take to council, but
I would say then at the next meeting, you just raise it under finance and have a discussion with council. I mean, you don't need a special meeting to raise that issue.
Yeah. Sound good?
Finance committee always dodging special meetings. I see how it is.
anything I can do here. Why don't we just do that next, at the next meeting on the 19th?
At what time?
It's just going to be
part of the meeting.
I'm sorry. Not a special meeting.
Not a special meeting. Not a finance meeting.
Just a meeting.
Just a normal meeting.
See what you did.
Like when I asked about other committees having anything to discuss.
Right. Eventually we're just going to be a committee as a whole. It's a waste of time.
So we're good on the park levy options right now?
Yep.
Discuss public utilities job descriptions.
Are we... We'll get it back next meeting.
We're going to discuss the park levy options.
Because we'll have the numbers back from the auditor.
No, we won't.
No,
no.
We're voting.
We have to approve these to get that.
Yeah, you have to approve the language of the resolution in order to get it sent out to the auditor to get the numbers back.
And Kevin said that he would want us to do that at the next meeting.
Yeah, that's the resolution that's on. So, Chad, that's on the agenda now, so I would anticipate...
The concern that needs to be brought to the Finance Committee is not relevant to these resolutions.
Correct.
Okay, so these need to pass by our next meeting in order to get ballot language in time.
Yes.
Not even ballot language, subsequent ballot language.
Yeah.
Is there a reason that we don't want to vote on that this evening?
I didn't want to overstep my bounds and ask council to do that, but you could certainly do that.
I feel like getting it out
the sooner the better.
Yeah, not kicking it down the road. That just seems foolish.
Yeah.
Make a motion.
Then it'll be on the agenda.
Oh, perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, discuss public utilities job descriptions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So... At the last council meeting, we first discussed the idea of the creation of the Public Utilities Department. Now, to separate this discussion from the discussion of the ordinance that is on the agenda for tonight, at the last meeting, we discussed the actual job descriptions for a new Public Utilities Department, and the feedback that I got from council was the issue of the amount of time that would need to require to have training for potentially new employees that if they were to enter the Public Utilities Department, and then a potential pay scale on how it would impact, because we had one current employee that is redlined in their position. So what I emailed to council was updated job descriptions where now we scale back the requirements for certificates for new employees to pursue and current employees to pursue. That would make it a lot easier to also review and analyze and evaluate their performance. So at the last council meeting, for example, I had brought to you a public utility operator one would have to have both a water and wastewater license. I changed that to they either have to have a Water 1 license or at the least be willing to agree to work towards a Level 1 license because of the fact that they would require at least a year of full-time work before they can even pursue a water license. So that would kind of be an introduction to the position and to the department where after that 1 year of work experience, they can then start working towards their level one water license. And then upon approval, they would move into an operator two where they would have that water one license now, but then they would be moving towards working on that experience in wastewater. And would be working towards that certificate and wastewater as well as they would now have the ability to work on their level two water license. So
And that level one wastewater license would be potentially in the event that there needs to be somebody as an operator of record for up to 29 days, they would be able to do it. Now, what I changed as an operator three was a little bit different than what I had compared to the last time, which I scaled back the licensing and certifications for an operator three. But what I have in mind is potentially having two operator threes where one would have would work towards a level three water license and still keep their level one wastewater license. And then another one would work towards a level two wastewater license and a level two water license. So that way both operator threes would have a total of four different certifications, but one would have be able to be an operator of record in wastewater, and another one would be an operator of would potentially be able to be an operator of record in water. So then your superintendent would still have to have a level three water license and a level two wastewater license. So this way I scaled it down so that way they can be able to cover any operator of record and not have to sit here and spend a ton of time getting licensing, but it still covers any concerns that we had for operator record and be able to cover it in the event someone is out sick or on vacation.
And financially, the burden of extra licensing for the number of employees we're talking about has all been taken into account?
Yes. Another thing I emailed to council as well was a potential, as well as we present, while there was the compensation study that we presented to council as previously mentioned, I also emailed to council a potential scaled up compensation pay grade assignment that revolved around one employee that was redlined. So what you had seen was a few different pay grade assignments, one at 7.5% that would require the entire pay grade to be shifted, an increase in 7.5% to cover for this one employee that has been redlined. That would also potentially require them to have to be essentially promoted in order to keep the pay grade that they have, the pay rate that they have. Another option is at 15.5% where they would still keep their current position as it is. They would still be maxed out at their position or close to maxed out at their position, but that would mean all the other pay grades would have to be increased 15.5% in order to meet that, in order to meet for that one employee. And then lastly, for that employee to be in their current position at their current rate and get a 7% increase as presented to council for this new public utilities department, the entire pay grade would have to be increased 23.5%. So it's not something council has to decide if they have to agree to vote on any of these new pay grades. It's just giving you an idea of how much the pay grade would have to increase in order to meet for the one current employee that is redlined at their position. As I mentioned in the last council meeting, council does have the ability to approve merit and non-merit bonuses, essentially. So for this one employee, it would essentially be a non-merit bonus. It would have to be a non-merit bonus that would have to be presented to them if that's the direction that council wanted to go.
Don't love that. I would rather have it built into the pay structure, and I realize that's going to cause headaches. I don't love the ideas of giving a bonus to an employee just because our pay scale isn't correct. And I think that's something we can talk about. We're new to our compensation plan next week.
I was going to say, we've got it. If we're doing the compensation plan, we've got to look at the whole thing and not just, I mean, that's part of it.
I think even if there was an understanding, I think there's room for a miscommunication or bad feelings to be construed if all of a sudden one employee is receiving a bonus and it's not clearly understood that that employee isn't receiving a bonus, they're just receiving pay, but the pay scale isn't correct. I'd rather have it be correct in the pay scale than give a bonus. That's where I sit.
And that is essentially where those hypothetical pay grade scales come in is that it's involving that current employee's pay. Like I said, it's not to have council decide, well, we need to increase this now, or we need to increase this in order to accommodate for this one employee. It's to show you how much we would have to raise our pay scale in order to accommodate for the employee based on where they're at now and where their position is at right now.
Did you look at any of the other, did any other pay scales change for any other positions?
So that was, it is all the, so yes, with some of those introduced pay scales, for example, our finance director would have to be given a pay raise just to meet the minimum demand if you were to increase it, say, 15.5%.
So you did the whole pay scale. You did everything.
You didn't do the public utilities. You did
everything. Because the public utilities, even though as right now they're separated in water to wastewater, their pay scale is involved in all of the other departments minus the police department.
I was going to say, what about the police department? Have you talked to Chief, and have you?
Well, Chief Chappell sent you an Excel sheet comparing the current wages of the police department to other departments across other areas of Ohio. It's just our pay scale, what I presented to you, was just a hypothetical pay scale, not an actual pay scale that we need to move towards. It's just the idea of how much we would have to adjust the pay scale for one employee for them to sit at their current pay scale at their current position. If they were to move to an operator two under the public utilities department.
So I have a question for the law director. So right now our pay scale includes bracketed amounts and everyone's divided out into it. For example, the street superintendent, wastewater superintendent, water superintendent, public works superintendent, assistant finance director are all bracketed in the same pay scale. When we redo this, there's no reason we have to maintain those jobs into those same pay scales, correct? We can totally rebuild this whole thing. So public utilities could be its own pay scale block. We could have our own pay scale block for office staff. We could have our own pay scale block for everything else. So we're not talking about, we have a lot of options when it comes to this. This isn't just we have to 25% increase and get all crazy. We can break everyone out and have a more in-depth department-by-department pay scale.
Yeah. And that's not favored by any sort. That was adopted from other municipalities.
Right. So we can, I think that's where we should be headed.
Yes.
Yeah, this basically came from the, what was the name of the company?
Clemens Nelson.
Yeah. Clemens and Nelson did, a number of years ago, did a big survey, and they're the ones that came up with these categories that put, you know, water operator one and, you know, everything in their own, in that range, based on their job duties and their job descriptions and what they were doing, and they had things numbered, and they gave each position points, and that's how they came up. They're the ones that came up with this. We just didn't pull this out of the air.
I think it would make the most sense, though, to break each department down, and each department has its own pay scale for the work the department's doing. Because right now, the public utilities department is doing the most work out of any of the other departments currently.
All our departments are working hard, and we appreciate you.
They all do work hard. But they're, in a sense, now picking up water and wastewater. So they're picking up what, in a sense, was its own separate department, a second department they're engulfing.
I don't want to get too deep into this, but that is going to be my recommendation for our conversation in 2 weeks.
Next week, or next meeting.
Do we have anything else on that? Or are we good to move on? Next up is fire station improvements.
I would like to verify that we can use those funds for fire hydrants.
Yes, I sent out an email. I'm sorry. Yes, we can use those for fire hydrants. The funds for fire hydrants, correct.
Amy, do we still have that list of broken fire hydrants?
Sure do. I just had to add one more to it the other day.
Can that be passed along so if we have a sudden influx of available funds to repair these, that we can crank these out?
And this will, is this going to be after we make the improvements to the fire station?
These funds were for the village.
Yes, it would be after.
No.
No, I would be looking at this one now.
The township, I understand it was...
It doesn't matter what the township says. This money is for the fire department. The fire department is for the community. They need these hydrants fixed.
I agree the hydrants need fixed, but we also need to take care of repairs that have been neglected for 15 years on the station.
It was my understanding that the repair quote was somewhere in the $60,000 and there's north of $100,000 available. I mean,
when we find out how much of the
hydrants need to be fixed, Jamie?
I have to list.
A replace. Do you know off top?
Less than 10 right now.
Do you know about how much it is per hydrant?
They're about $7,000 a piece.
Okay. So approximately $70,000.
Yes, and I just asked because the price is going to go up in July, so if this is something we're going to do, then I would like to get the quote and get it processed.
I'm siding with the mayor. I think we should make the repairs to the building before we expense any funds to fire hydrants, but if there's excess funds in,
well, I hope that
in the bank after we make these repairs.
The view goes out.
What was the total in that fund?
$127,000.
So there was a little over $127,000. At the last meeting, we had discussed that based on the current quote, based on the quotes that we were received, that there was almost $63,000 worth of repairs. However, some of those repairs have probably gone up in price because some of those quotes were about 2, 3, maybe even as far as 4 years old.
I think we need to put a timeline on these quotes if we are going to incur increased cost of fire hydrants in the short term. I don't think this can drag out that we're getting quotes for months and months and months. If they have repairs that they need, I think that needs to happen so we can...
Now, we did have some money put aside in the budget for some repairs to the fire department as is, but it was... not even close to the amount that is sitting in that fire fund that you guys are discussing right now. But there was some money that we had put aside for some repairs to the fire department, just not to that scale.
And we have a couple new quotes, it looks like. Is this from you, Mr.
This is the updated quotes.
Chief
Smith. And right now...
Between $7,000 to $8,000, I think we had put aside in the budget for...
From the general fund?
Yeah, for maintenance and repairs to the building. So, we did receive those quotes. However, I did not request staff to put in those purchase orders just yet until council decided what direction council wanted to go in.
Right now, if that was the quote for the filling of the cracks that are in the walls to where there's the insulation coming through the cracks. Without that added in there, it's at $70,779.
Amy, how many hydrants do we have purchased already that we're looking to repair to install this year?
Three.
You have three with nine broken total that need to replace, or is that list separate? So there's like 12.
So I intended on replacing three of the broken this year. I can't remember how many was left. I know I had an email I sent to you after that fire up the street listing it, but it's less than 10. But I have to verify.
I think there was like 8 or 9 on there, I think.
Yeah.
And that three that you have already purchased is not counted towards that 9 total. So that would be 6.
The three that I purchased counts towards that 9 total.
So there's 6 after that need to be replaced that we're talking about.
Yes, yeah.
So... roughly $50,000. I mean, I think
the math works out.
It does.
But we can do both. And maybe the council could consider, rather than, I think we talked about, rather than us doing these repairs, we could always put in the contract that we'll just turn the money over to the fire department and let them do it.
Well, I would rather pay for it, see it done, because we've had too many problems with your township trustees that money might not go there.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
I guess, how would we, how would we go about asking for a deadline on finalized quotes for this?
Right here.
So this is it. This is what
the concrete says. The concrete says it's from 2023.
Yeah.
So the concrete's not up there.
The concrete guy hasn't got back to him yet from when I last talked to Jeremy.
Okay.
So Mouse Singer Door left their price the same for the openers.
Okay.
So and he needed a PO for that one.
Okay.
So I said, let's get on that before they decide to raise the price. Because $7,000 to fix, to do the five different LiftMaster garage door openers is cheap.
So I guess the question comes back around to, do we want to transfer the funds and let them do this work, or do we want to pay for it and then sell the building?
Because that's where we're split. We're in the thing where we want to pay for it.
The downside to that is if Andy's repairs come in over budget, we'll be responsible for that.
Right.
Yes.
Like the concrete.
I like the patrons.
What's that, 70? We could say, we'll say 70. I don't know what it's going to cost to fill all those cracks in the walls.
What's wrong with all the garage doors? All of a sudden they're not working.
They're original from 1980. We've already had one break over 205 at the station, and the guy that was there told us from Mouse in Your Door, if any of these break again, you will not get them fixed because they're that old. They will not be able to repair them. He has that one Frankenstein together right now. So we're on borrowed time with all of them.
Okay, so you get
and these are all things that were supposed to be done when Brad Peebles was here. All of them garage door openers were supposed to be replaced when Brad was here. And Brad kept putting it off. So now we're in the predicament we're in now where if they break, that truck's not leaving that building. So you're worried about the hydrants, but there's no, it's not going to matter if the truck can't get out of the building, correct?
Drive through the door.
That big trucks, they'll go right through.
And then you're looking at higher costs and
you get a new door.
Just kidding.
I know you weren't here last week. This money can only be used for the fire hydrant, or for the fire. This is not coming out of general fund. This is
right.
If it's not spent, it just sits there forever.
And the same stuff that was there when you were serving on the department. The exact same equipment.
There was nothing wrong with it then.
So I guess we're kind of dancing around it. So they want $75,000. There's room for $50,000 for hydrants on top of that.
So then if we give them $75,000, they're not going to come back and say we need another $10,000.
I guess that's the conversation that he's at. We need
conversation with them.
Sorry. Well, then I do not give any money out until they come back and say, okay, you give us the $75,000. If anything comes back over bid, we'll cover it.
I think we should draft an agreement.
Yeah, I think.
Can we do that?
Yeah, so the contract has already been sent to them. So I plan on having an ordinance form in front of you next council meeting. But the question is, do we want to do the work or do they want to do the work? Or do we want them to do the work?
We could draft an agreement that says we'll give you $75,000 to make the repairs that were quoted on here.
We could do that. Yes.
And then have it be purchased after that.
Mm-hmm. We could do that.
If anything comes under bid, then we get that money back.
So they're going to say, well, if it goes over bid, then you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
No, that's not the way it goes. This is government.
Just saying what I would say if I was their lawyer.
How soon do we have to get fire hydrant orders in if we want to lock in a price, Jamie?
It takes them like 3 hours to send a quote, so
okay. And you said July is the increase?
Yeah.
So I'm whatever you guys want, I can put it in there. We'll pay them the money, and they do the repairs, or we'll do the repairs.
I'm still of the view that they give us the quotes, we write the purchase orders, we write the check for the work to be done. I'm sorry. I think it's our money. It's the village's responsibility. It's in our funds. I think we did. I don't think we just turned over $75,000. And hope for the best. I'm sorry, that's...
Do we put into ordinance that we're spending a set amount? Like, if we're capping at 75 grand for spending, or are we...
I would put it in the contract that, yes, it would cap at that. But, again, this is an offer to purchase that they're going to have to approve also.
Right.
So it's going to, the ordinance is going to, you're going to authorize us to take the offer to purchase to them. So I can put that, whatever you want, I can put in there that we have to verify the spending up to $75,000, if that's what council chooses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea.
Okay. I'll have that for you next meeting.
And $75,000 covers everything on here?
Except we don't know what it's going to cost to fill all the cracks in the walls.
Call Rob Manley.
Okay.
The guy that did the monument.
Okay. So we're good on that now? All right.
And you guys do realize that $75,000 for repairs and $70,000 for hydrants is $145,000, and we only have $120,000.
You're saying $50,000 for hydrants?
Yeah, $50,000, because there's only six hydrants that need to be purchased. It's roughly six hydrants that need to be purchased at $7 grand a pop. So the math is just real quick.
I didn't hear that part.
And I just want to make sure, Mr. Mayor, that we're looking. It's, I got $62,800 without the cost on the cracks on the wall. Is that correct?
Okay. No, because you didn't count the first two pages.
Oh, okay.
$70,779. Okay.
Because I included the Stafford quote that he already got and the Knopfinger door quote that he already got.
Okay.
It should be $70,779.
Okay, perfect. Okay, cool. Sweet.
Okay, moving on. We have Resolution 05-2025 as an emergency.
Resolution 05-2025 is a resolution authorizing the village administrator to negotiate and execute an easement for electric utility line construction on village-owned property and declares an emergency.
So we gave this a first reading last time. Are you looking to have this passed as an emergency this time? And is the reasoning is?
Because you guys didn't pass it as an emergency the last meeting, so you read it as a first read because you didn't have enough to, because of the fact that you didn't have enough to pass on emergency, so it had to be tabled until this meeting.
So moved. Or do we have to suspend?
Yes.
I make a motion to suspend.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second to suspend. Roll call, please.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Dunlap?
Yes.
Yes.
I got a question.
We have two. We have one on the table first.
It's already on the agenda, okay. So you're good.
So it's been suspended.
I was the only one missing last meeting, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So if you had five votes?
No.
We made an amendment to the language in the contract to include the tow greens.
One person voted no on the suspension, so.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't have enough to suspend.
Okay. So therefore it could not be passed.
Right.
See, it was tabled.
Do I have a motion to make final first reading?
So moved.
Second. Is it final first or final second?
Final second. Second reading, my bad.
I would like to... I would like to propose that the funds from this authorization go directly to offset the funding from the park that we have an issue with.
No.
Why not?
The funds from...
Because we haven't figured out if we've got a shortage in the park yet. They're supposed to be working on that to get the...
I was told that if we want to take 10% wages out of the park fund, that's a levy fund, that I need to find the money to replace it in the general fund. This is $15,000. Go toward, right towards that.
No, I think you need to keep
otherwise it. This money goes directly into the general fund.
That's a good spot for it.
It is, to pay wages, yeah. Not levy funds to pay wages.
You know, we haven't, still haven't decided that that's a firm commitment, correct? The way the...
I want to discuss it when we have our finance committee meeting.
Yeah, we're going to discuss that.
When we discuss it at the next meeting.
Yeah.
Currently, it is the plan for the 2025 fiscal budget that we passed. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Chad is correct. There are funds that we have dedicated to pay wages out of a levy fund.
up until the moment we approve this resolution, we are looking for funds to replace those wages. It's right here. Some of it.
That's
we don't have this right now.
That's not even close.
We don't have to look. It's right here. As soon as you pass this.
What we're paying the park wages.
It's not. But it's part of it.
Do we have to make that decision now, or can we make it during the meeting when we talk about finances?
So procedurally, what you have now is you have a motion on this resolution, yeah. And the second. Chad has made a second motion to use these funds to reimburse for the park. That would modify the first motion. If there's a second on his motion, then you guys have to vote on it. On that motion, and then it reverts back to the motion dealing
with. I made a proposal just before we pass this, and we can just pass this the way it is, and then I can just do it later.
I can't do that, or you can make a motion.
I thought it'd be nice to just express my opinion on that before we vote on it.
Okay.
Well, before we even vote on this to begin with, we had asked for language to add regarding the tow drains. I haven't seen a revision for this resolution that has that language in it. Was there ever any change to the resolution made?
From what I understand, the special provisions acknowledged the tow drains, that there was going to be a fence to prevent equipment from going onto the tow drains.
So there was...
It was in the language that Ms. Stans presented to you at the last meeting.
Correct. And so there is language in the contract that was presented for the easement that did not specifically mention tow drains. And it was my request that the language in that contract for the easement was specifically mentioning tow drains. And that was supposed to be between our law director and... Her name escapes me. I apologize.
Trisha Sands.
Trisha Sands. And that was the one request was that the tow drains were specifically added to the language of the drains in the easement.
And you're right. I have not received anything from their attorney. So I would suggest second reading then. So
yeah, it's not going to be in the ordinance. It's going to be in the easement contract.
But the ordinance accepts the easement contract.
Correct. So that's if we
do not want to pass this.
Correct.
In the minutes that we just
this isn't an ordinance. It's a resolution.
The legislation. It's the same thing.
Thank you.
And the minutes reflect Shire stated he would like to clarify in the documents regarding the tow drains. Ms. Sands to have tow drain language added and forwarded to our law director's office.
Right, and I gave her one of my cards. I have not.
Yeah.
I'll follow up with her.
So we're just making it a second reading.
Yep.
You still have to suspend.
Motion to unsuspend?
No. You made the motion, correct?
Yes.
Make a motion to withdraw your motion.
I make a motion to withdraw my motion.
But we already voted on it.
No, you didn't.
No, we voted on the suspend.
To suspend,
yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
The suspend is done, and then we were on the pass it on final.
We just suspended an emergency. We can make it a second.
No,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can they all just vote no, and it fails, and they can redo it?
No, because then we'll have to start it all over again. You made the motion, so you can still make a motion to withdraw your prior motion And we'll need a second on that, and then you'll have to vote on that to withdraw the prior motion, and then it just gets a second reading.
We suspended it already.
Yeah, can't we just table it right now, though? And not vote on it and bring it, take it off the table next week?
Then we're going to have to amend. We'll have to amend it next week.
Have to amend the amendment?
I'd say.
I make a motion to withdraw my first motion.
Maybe a second on that.
Second.
Vote on that.
I have a motion and a second for the withdrawal of the suspension that Ms. Demelot made earlier. Roll call, please.
Johnson.
Yep.
Bray.
Yes.
Shire.
Yes.
Demelot.
Yes.
Adams.
Yes.
Dawson.
Yes.
Now it's just given a second reading.
Now can I have Resolution 05-2025 as a second reading?
So moved.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second to make it a second reading. Roll call, please.
Bray.
Yes.
Shire.
Yes.
Demelot.
Yes.
Adams.
Yes.
Dawson.
Yes.
Johnson.
Yes.
Nice catch, Lynn.
Okay, Ordinance 13-2025 is a third reading.
Ordinance 13-2025 is an ordinance establishing the review process for site plans by the Delta Planning Commission and the Village Council.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Shire?
Yes.
Demelot?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Ordinance 14-2025, third reading.
Ordinance 14-2025 is an ordinance approving a memorandum of understanding between the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives and the Village of Delta.
Second.
I have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Demelot?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 15-2025, third reading.
Ordinance 15-2025, an ordinance approving a memorandum of understanding between the Fulton County Department of Job and Family Services and the Village of Delta.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demelot?
Yes.
Ordinance 16-2025, third reading.
Ordinance 16-2025, an ordinance approving a memorandum of understanding between the Fulton County Sheriff's Office and the Village of Delta.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion second. Roll call, please.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demelot?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Ordinance 17-2025, third reading.
Ordinance 17-2025, an ordinance declaring certain property surplus and not needed for municipal purpose.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion second. Roll call, please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demelot?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Ordinance 18-2025, third reading.
Ordinance 18-2025 is an ordinance authorizing the Village of Delta, Fulton County, Ohio, to enter into an agreement with the Pike Delta York Local School District for a school resource officer.
So moved. Second.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah. At the last meeting, there was a question on whether the school district had tabled this. Oh, wait.
They did. I talked with the superintendent, and he said the way that it was written on, not the actual contract, but the way that it was written, like on the agenda, they had an issue with the wording on the agenda. But he does believe that the is something that they want to have in the school system. The will pass, they just had to get corrected for the next meeting, and that's how we left it.
So it's going to be corrected, you think, as is, or I mean. It's approved as is.
Yes, but the contract wasn't the issue. It was how it was worded on the agenda.
On their agenda.
On their agenda was what they had the issue with. But that's what the information I got from him.
And when's their next meeting?
Wednesday.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, I don't know.
Confirm? The 12th?
21st.
Third Wednesday. There you go.
Tony?
No, that's what I was going to ask.
Okay.
You had some questions about overtime at the meeting that wasn't here. Do you want to talk about that at all? Or
what's that?
There was a meeting where Drew was here. I was at the training, and he had said there were maybe some questions on overtime. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that, if this did pass, how that would look.
Oh, yeah. He said that whoever took that position wouldn't be getting overtime.
Yes, the school resource officer wouldn't get overtime unless, if and until, I mean, I can't say that they would never get overtime, but let's say at the school there shouldn't be any overtime barring anything. Like if we had a major event on a weekend, obviously they could come in on overtime if they already had the 40 hours of work at school, but we need an officer on the weekend for, you know, somebody's out sick or emergency or whatever. That could be a situation where they could have overtime on like a weekend, but they wouldn't have any overtime unless there was something that occurred at the school and they were held off afterwards, but they wouldn't be just getting overtime to get overtime. It would have to be something would have to happen.
Okay, would this person also be covering the sporting events?
So that isn't in the contract. We've talked with the superintendent about having a separate kind of agreement for that. It's what we talked about. Different departments call it different things. Some call it like special duty, part-time work, that kind of thing. And we talked about getting that set up kind of like what we did with the race earlier in the year, where that entity, which would be the school or the athletic department, would then pay for an officer. There would be an officer dedicated just at the event for the hours they have it, like we did with the Yeti race. And so they would pay for an officer to be there.
Okay, so the school will pick up the tab then?
The school athletic department, however they decided to pay, that's what it would be for. This officer, I believe it's worded in the MOU that they would have the first opportunity for that, but it wouldn't come from their regular pay.
Okay. So if that individual didn't want it, one of our guys took it, who pays that part?
Still, it'd still be the school paying.
Okay.
So,
auxiliary work.
Auxiliary, part-time, special duty. It would be paid in uniform. Uniform work that would be paid by that entity to employ that officer for that specific thing.
They're off-duty at that point, more or less.
So they still have all their same police powers. Right. They're not beholden to the radio taking ones. They're there for that event. And if that was something that, due to financing or whatever else they didn't want to do, we would have an officer, obviously it would be on duty, but it wouldn't be dedicated to that event. So say, you know, we didn't have a special duty or a part-time officer working that event, and there was an issue, that officer would respond, but he wouldn't be just stationed there for that event. He would be, and he'd be on village time, so he would be responding to other runs as they came.
So we're good to vote now? I had a first.
And second.
A motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Dunline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Moving on to new business, Resolution 06-2025 as an emergency.
Resolution 06-2025 is a resolution pursuant to revised code section 570503B requesting the county auditor to certify the total current tax valuation of the Village of Delta and other financial information and declares an emergency.
Is this the refuse or is this the...
This is the refuse, yes.
Refuse, okay.
Motion to suspend. This is the quarter mill for refuge.
Yes.
Aiming at roughly 20.
So this is just asking for the numbers back, right? That's it?
That's it.
Even if I think this is dumb?
Yep.
Okay.
What are you saying?
I was just making sure...
The number will come back from the auditor as to how much it would generate and how much it would cost a homeowner.
Can you correct the spelling of the word village?
Throughout it. And it's the same thing on, I think, 0825.
Yeah. 0825?
Yes.
I had a motion to suspend. Do I have a second? How long do we let it sit before we just say?
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Shire?
Yes.
Dillon?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Well,
Do I have a motion to make this final on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shine?
Yes.
Resolution 07-2025 is an emergency.
Resolution 07-2025 is a resolution authorizing the Village of Delta to participate in the ODOT road salt contract, and it declares an emergency.
Motion to suspend.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to suspend. Roll call, please.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Devlin?
Yes.
Do I have a motion to make final on first reading?
So moved. I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Devlin?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Resolution 08-2025 is an emergency.
Resolution 08-2025 is a resolution pursuant to revised code section 5705-03B requesting the county auditor to certify the total current tax valuation of the Village of Delta and other financial information, declaring an emergency.
Can I ask council to make a motion to, there are five actually sub-resolutions here. If you could make a motion to designate those A, B, C, D, and E, so that when I send them to the auditor, they know that there's five different ones.
I've only got four.
There should be one for 1 mil, 1.25, 1.5, 1.75, and 2 mils.
That's five.
Where does it
road salt?
Where does it give the amount? Or, okay, here's a 2 mil, 1 mil, 1.5, and 1.25. Did you know, so you only have 1.75? Yeah.
2.75.
I'm missing the 1.75.
So I'm missing three of them. So
that's why these tablets are going to be wonderful.
If we have all these ones, how come we have one 0.25 for the garbage and then a 0.25 increase on here? Do we need both of those?
We don't know.
Well, one's park and recreation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, all we're doing is asking for the money amounts, correct?
No, two things. You ask for the money amounts, and they tell you how much it costs a homeowner for the different levy amounts. So that's what you see in the news where it says, you know, it costs a homeowner a $100,000 house, you know, $12 a year or something like that. We have, both of those numbers come from the auditor.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're going to ask for a 0.25 on one and a 0.25 on the other one, they're going to be the same, right?
But we're not asking for a 0.25. It's a 1.25.
Yeah, it's 1.25.
For the park.
Oh, it just says renewal. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So why don't we make the...
So you're saying you didn't get all five?
I didn't get all five. Let's make the 08, or the one for 2 mil, make that A, 1.75, you said? That's
yep.
The one I'm missing?
Me too.
So make that B, 1.5, make that C, 1.25, make that D, and 1 mil, make that E.
Perfect. So,
and if I could have a copy of B at some point, I'd appreciate it.
So you want us to make a motion?
I think if Lynn just made, that was your motion.
Yeah.
Do you need a second? And then I'll vote on that.
I'll second it.
So I have a motion and a second to sublet them A, B, C, D, and E. Roll call, please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Devlin?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Did we do the motion to suspend?
Motion to suspend.
Can we do the motion to suspend on all of them?
Yes, since they're sub.
So I have a motion to suspend. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to suspend all of them.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yep.
Dunlight?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Do I have a motion to make all of the sublets final on first reading?
So moved.
Okay.
I have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Shire?
Yes.
Dunlight?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Yes. And please make sure the word village is spelled correctly on all.
Sorry, is it just that one section? Section
no,
one?
It's in the body of it.
No, it's in the whole thing. There's like three different places, I think.
Okay, ordinance 19-2025, first reading.
Ordinance 19-2025 is an ordinance establishing the Department of Public Utilities for the Village of Council.
All moved.
How is this? This hasn't been brought up yet as an ordinance?
We have not created the department, no. We gave you approval to move in this direction, but we have not voted on the creation of the department itself.
Okay. We didn't table this or nothing?
No.
Okay. Second.
I have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Dunlap?
I can vote on this, right?
This does have anything to do with comp, so yes.
Okay, yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire? Yes.
I do have a question. Imagine that. Once we agree to establish a new public utilities department, how does that affect our budget and everything? Like, is there going to be a new fund number? Or are you still keeping... Is water and wastewater still separate?
To answer your question, they have to keep separate because of the fact that they are two separate enterprise funds. It's just the water, it's just the question you're having about potentially with salaries for employees, that comes down to where they've been, where they were working is where we would divide their salaries out of each fund.
Okay, so we don't have to worry about any changing anything?
No.
This year's budget or anything.
Yes, correct. There is no change. It will not affect the budget as it stands. It's just instead of having separated employees in each department to help with the funds over with expenses, it's now you're going to have to deliberate, and we'll have to delineate what comes out of what fund.
Thank you,
Mr. Vice Mayor.
Eager. Let's go. At the
7th. We're good on that one for first reading. Ordinance 20-2025, first reading.
Ordinance 20-2025 is an ordinance approving and authorizing the administration to enter into an administrative order of consent under Section 309A of the Clean Water Act, 33 U.S.C. Section 1319A.
What does this do?
So that is a good question. So what this ordinance is explaining and is asking is for the council to be approving an administrative order on consent that the village has been working with the federal EPA office to come into compliance after we received a violation from our wastewater treatment facility. This was nobody's fault. It was just we happened to have a test that occurred back in 2024 that was just brought to light recently that we have been working with EPA to put together an agreement but also a schedule of tasks that we're going to, that we've been working on in the interim as of right now, that we're going to continue to do in the future to make sure that we are continuing to be in compliance.
Okay. I do have one question on this. Is this order of consent being factored into the planning of the the rate study that is currently being acquired for the wastewater treatment plant, since I assume there will be costs incurred in the completion of this order of consent.
Yes, there have been some costs that we have had to factor in to make sure that we comply with this administrative order on consent. Some of that does include some engineering services, but it is something that we have factored into already, and we'll continue to monitor and make sure that we have the funds needed to make sure we continue to comply.
I'm still waiting on a motion and a second.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Adams?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yep.
Dunbar? Yes.
Any questions related to today's council proceedings?
No, but I forgot to ask on our part. Have we heard anything about Marky Brown's?
Why do you...
Vega?
Have we heard anything about Bunny...
Bearing Marky Brown's?
No.
Okay. Have we heard anything about Main Street where the states, where it's going to fall down in the creek?
The soil erosion.
So if I understand, you're asking
slope repair.
The slope repair?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
We got an email.
This is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Main Street, West Main Street.
Okay.
Slope down to the park.
Village paid $230,000 a couple years back.
Oh,
that. Thank you.
We gave authorization for ODOT to do that project. So,
I have not heard anything as of recent. So.
Jamie?
I got an email with some final drawings and plans from ODOT. I'm not sure if his address was in the attachment or not. I know I was in the wastewater email address.
They move swiftly. They'll be in and out. You won't even notice.
Okay.
Not going to make the joke.
So you have to send an email. Next regular village council meeting will be Monday, May 19th at 5:30 p.m. I have a motion to adjourn.
A move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adjourn. Roll call, please.
Boston?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Shire?
Yeah.
Drumline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Okay.